This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And you know, you can listen to The Takeaway anytime by subscribing to our podcast. You can find that on our website, thetakeaway.org, or on iTunes. The president seeking America's undivided attention on health care.
This is 1/6 of our economy. I think that we can build on what works, fix what's broken, and still save substantial money.
But a secret Republican-inspired plan disrupts the national town meeting.
Let me first of all apologize to my wife, Jenny, and our great boys, Marshall, Landon, Bolton, and Blake, for letting them down.
South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford's situation tragedy unfolds comically yesterday and captures the front pages. Trips to Argentina, an affair, scandalous emails, derailing the healthcare debate was probably not the point. Poor Obama, trying to stay on message and away from a governor's mess. Messed up at The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. It's Thursday, June 25th. I'm John Hockenberry, and this morning we are staying on message, at least for this hour. Precious Lowe, office worker in Atlanta, Georgia, who pays for her own health care plan. Now, you weren't distracted by that governor to the north, were you?
No, not too much distracted, but not surprised either. Not that it was specifically him, but that it actually...
I see it. Precious, are you still there? Well, she did watch the healthcare town meeting with the president last night, and she does have a question for President Obama, and she's going to stay with us because we're going to have our own healthcare town meeting on The Takeaway this morning and also get the latest on the contested election in Iran. Less than a third of the country's members of parliament showed up for Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's victory party last night, and we're going to talk healthcare with another governor, Michigan's Jennifer Granholm. Everything you need to know today and these headlines. The top American commander in Afghanistan says international troops need to make a fundamental shift in attitude in order to reduce civilian casualties. General Stanley McChrystal says troops will be told to stop firing at insurgents if any civilians are present. Federal investigators are hoping to get an interview today with the surviving train operator from Monday's subway crash in Washington, D.C. He's been released from the hospital. In Iran, there are reports that President Ahmadinejad has told President Obama to stop interfering in Iran's affairs. President Obama said earlier this week that he was appalled and outraged by the crackdown on protesters there. Some fresh economic data is expected out later this morning. We're going to learn the Commerce Department's new estimate for GDP growth. That's the gross domestic product growth in the first quarter. It's the biggest economic statistic going. We'll also get new jobless claims numbers for the week. And on Wall Street yesterday, trading was a bit erratic. The S&P rose 0.7% to close at 901. The Dow fell 0.3% to close at 8,300. So it's our Governor's Hall of Fame this morning. We want you to give an award for the worst governor of all time. There are a lot of nominees. I mean, you've got Blagojevich, right? You've got Eliot Spitzer. You can go as far back in history as you want. What is it with governors? Jesse Ventura. Nominate any governor from any state you want and tell us why your pick should win. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email at mytake@thetakeaway.org. We're on message. The Takeaway's healthcare roundtable begins in just a moment.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. We are on message talking about healthcare. Precious, are you there? Precious Lowe? Hello, Precious? Precious Lowe is one of the people who is going to be in our healthcare roundtable this morning. And it's fairly clear after watching Barack Obama last night on ABC television talking about healthcare to a town meeting assembled by the network that the Obama approach to healthcare reform is totally different from the Clinton approach. The president last night was very upfront about costs.
We will have some upfront costs. And the estimates, as Charlie has said, have been anywhere from $1 trillion to $2 trillion. But what we've said is, what my administration has said, what I've said, is that whatever it is that we do, we pay for.
And the kind of change that Obama envisions is not being put together by some sort of cabal of policy experts, as was the case with Bill Clinton and his advisors back in 1994. Congress is handling the policy details. Obama is sort of coaching from the sidelines, saying that there's going to be change, but it's not going to be too radical.
For us to completely change our system, root and branch, would be hugely disruptive. And I think would end up resulting in people having to completely change their doctors, their health care providers, in a way that I'm not prepared to go.
Well, where are the American people prepared to go on health care reform? We're going to talk with some folks that we've been speaking with over the last few weeks as we look at the health care reform debate from a number of angles. Dr. Peter Ubel, physician and behavioral scientist, joins us from Ann Arbor, Michigan. His latest book is Free Market Madness, Why Human Nature is at Odds with Economics and Why It Matters. Peter, thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks.
Dr. Moitri Savard is a family physician with a private practice in Queens, New York. She joins us from Long Island City. Dr. Savard, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Noreen Thompson runs a 13-room hotel with her husband in Eastham, Massachusetts. She has all kinds of issues with health care. We haven't spoken to you before, so welcome to the program, Noreen.
Thank you.
And I'm going to roll the dice one more time. Precious Lowe, are you there? Precious Lowe is someone we spoke with yesterday who watched the healthcare debate last night. We may get her back in this segment. So, Dr. Ubel, do you think this approach, from the perspective of a behavioral scientist, of letting the American people lead the debate and the policy issues be worked out in Congress rather than by assembling a team of experts, as the Clinton administration did, do you think this this approach is more likely to succeed?
I think it is more likely to succeed, and I think Obama has the right diagnosis. He knows the costs are out of control, that the way, what we pay for in medicine is a very strange system of paying people to do too much to their patients, and so he's got the right diagnosis. The treatment, I think we have a lot of details we need to learn about what treatment they're going to have to the system.
And Dr. Savard, did you hear anything last night that made you particularly excited about either adopting the kinds of practices that you spoke with us on the program about a few weeks ago, or things that would make your job easier?
Sure. I like that he talked about a health insurance exchange. I think one of the problems my patients have is finding health insurance that they can afford. So if they're given a menu of all their different options, I think that would be very helpful.
And Noreen Thompson, what are your sort of headaches regarding health care, maintaining a health care plan for yourself? And I'm presuming that there is conceivably an issue with your employees.
Well, employees, no, because we only employ employees in the summertime. So it's not a big issue there because we actually stay away from hiring employees that are going to need health insurance. And for that reason, we can't afford the insurance for our family, let alone for employees as well. A lot of the biggest problem with us is cost and the fact that we're changing insurances just about every year, every other year. I have more insurance cards than Carter has liver pills. You know, I really do. So,
did you hear anything last night that made you feel as though perhaps change is coming and you're not going to be bouncing around like this indefinitely?
No, not necessarily. I did and I didn't. I mean, I think maybe the approach might be better for getting something done, but I don't necessarily think it's the approach that we really need at this point. I think I am firmly committed to single-payer health care. I think that's the way to go. And I think that having supplemental plans to go along with single-payer health plans would be fine, and that would probably be a better way to go than to try it this way. But we'll see.
Precious Lowe, if you could have asked a question of Barack Obama last night, what would it have been?
Well, my main question would be what would be the limits on the health care that the government would provide? What would be the stop or the cap for the payment of certain procedures? What certain procedures can we have? Things of that nature, so that I can go into this, having an open eye and understanding exactly, do I want to continue paying out of pocket for my own, or Like you said, you know, if you like what you already have, you can keep that, or do I want to go with what the government is offering?
Dr. Eubel, is a health care reform plan going to have specific caps that consumers are going to be able to be aware of, or is it going to vary from treatment to treatment, drug to drug, and constantly be a moving target as auditors take a look at what's working and what doesn't work?
Yeah, I think you can count on this to be hard to know what you're going to get. I think it's the biggest challenge Obama faces is how to control healthcare costs. And that is going to be a political challenge because everyone who's making money in the healthcare system are going to fight any plan that would reduce how much money they make. And it's also going to be a big challenge to consumers, to Americans, because we're not going to know what barriers they're going to put for patients to get what they want out of the healthcare system.
Dr. Savard, we spoke yesterday with someone who was giving us some insights into the German plan, the way Germany operates. And they have private insurers in Germany, but they have a very strict set of regulations as to how to behave and what sorts of costs are permissible within the system. If there was a rigorous set of new federal mandates on how to practice and what to pay for various kinds of procedures, would that be onerous for you?
It depends how it was administered, but I could see it being difficult. I mean, I do agree that the biggest problem is going to be cost control. When asked about his family last night, President Obama said, yes, of course, he would want everything done, but he was hoping that there would be some, you know, evidence behind that. But the problem is when it comes to your family members, no amount of evidence really makes a difference sometimes. I mean, he talked about I think he didn't actually refer to it, but Atul Gawande had an article in The New Yorker where he talked about the healthcare system in McAllen, Texas. Now, as part of that article, he admitted that he had a son who had had a bad fall, and he insisted that his child have an extra ICU stay, even though it wouldn't have necessarily improved his outcome, he found out later. But the problem is when it's your child and there's a 1%, 2% chance, even though the evidence isn't necessarily there, sometimes that's what you want done. And that's, I think, going to be a huge problem. So I don't quite know with a system like Germany how something like that is going to be administered and who's going to make the final decision of, no, it can't be done.
Well, Dr. Eubel, the Atul Gawande article that we've actually focused on this program before focuses on the southern Minnesota system at the Mayo Clinic. And they're very disciplined at the Mayo Clinic. If you ask for something and they say it's not appropriate, you just don't get it, period, the end. Can the federal government adopt that kind of discipline on a national scale and basically do what Mayo does?
No.
Really?
It's very hard to replicate the Mayo Clinic. I trained there. It's a wonderful place. It's a place where if they think you need something, they will get it for you, often cheaper than other places. So it's not just that they do less. They also charge less. They have their doctors at Mayo are on salary. Most doctors in the United States aren't salaried, and they would resist being put on a salary, even if that was the best thing for the country.
Noreen, in Easton, Massachusetts, do you have good health care providers there, even though it's expensive and confusing for you to maintain insurance?
It's a big problem here. We're losing doctors, and it's really hard to stay with one family physician. We had one for a few years, and then they ended up putting her on walk-ins. And I've bounced around for a number of times since then. I've got one that I've had for like over a year, and I'm crossing my fingers, but it's a problem.
So even if you wanted to maintain a primary care physician, engage in all kinds of preventive health care, pay up front for preventive procedures that are going to pay off down the line, you can't even do it because there's nobody there to provide you with that service.
There aren't enough family physicians. There aren't enough, you know, it is a big problem. I think there's plenty of specialists. And I think that was one of the things that was raised last night, was being a specialist is more lucrative and helps to pay for medical students to pay off their bills much easier. But, yeah, we've got a big problem with family physicians.
All right. Well, we're going to come back to you, Noreen. Dr. Moitri Savard, we're going to give you the last word here. Any sign from the town meeting last night that a proliferation of primary care physicians such as yourself are going to hit the beach anytime soon? We just have a few seconds.
Yes, I mean, he did mention it as his, I believe it was number three on his plan, is the promotion of primary care. And he did speak to that medical student, had $300,000 in debt, who really wants to go into primary care.
Well,
so, yeah,
that's positive. Dr. Moitri Savard, family physician with a private practice in Queens. Dr. Peter Eubel, a physician and behavioral scientist. Eubel, Precious Lowe, of course, and Noreen Thompson. Thanks so much, folks.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.